coming and supporting us today. First, I want to clarify that the victims here are the children, not myself, not my wife, nor my children, but the victims. We are heartbroken by this situation. We attempted to make the situation work for 2 years because we cared deeply for the girls, but we were failed by DHS. When DHS fails adopted parents, they fail the children even more. Despite what you may have read, we reached out to DHS numerous times and we were met with nothing but hostility. Marsha and I always planned to have 5 children. After having 3 children, we were unable to have more, and we decided to adopt 2 girls. After initiating a private adoption, we were informed in a meeting with DHS, CASA, the attorney ad litem, and Ozark Guidance that we could not adopt the 2 children unless we also took their older siblings. We were aware that the oldest child had severe issues. Because we have degrees in child development, we believed we were equipped to handle this situation. We had the oldest child for 5 months, then brought the 2 younger girls into our home. We were misled by DHS to believe that the youngest 2 did not have any severe issues. The oldest girl was so traumatized by past abuses that she spent about 8 hours every day screaming and in a rage. She received intensive therapy, but the situation never improved. After bashing an unrelated 2-year-old in the head with a rock, we discovered that the oldest girl had been stashing sharp rocks and metal rods under her bed. After confronting her, she disclosed her plan to kill every member of the family. DHS did finally place her in inpatient care, and even then we continued to visit her 2x a week for family therapy every week for almost 7 months. At the end of this 7-month period, we were given 30 minutes notice that the oldest girl was being transferred to a new foster home, hours away from Northwest Arkansas, where she would be the only child in the home. We attempted to remain in contact with this girl, but DHS later asked us to quit contacting her. We proceeded with the adoption process and intensive home therapy with the 2 younger girls. Despite ongoing violence toward our boys, we believe that if we continue to show love and affection, the situation would turn out okay. We were wrong. We were not prepared for children with severe undiagnosed reactive attachment disorder. Because Marsha suffered abuse as a child, however, we pressed on, refusing to give up on these girls. We followed Ozark Guidance's advice to remove the middle girl's toys and belongings and slowly reintroduce the items as part of a therapeutic treatment plan for children with reactive attachment disorder. One of the 2 girls was medicated by her doctor in order to prevent the girl's attempts to hurt her sister. We followed all of DHS safety guidelines throughout this process, and we even had our boys sleeping in our rooms for their protection, After one of the girls crushed a family pet to death and attempted to abuse 2 pets, we took both girls to a therapist, a psychiatrist, and a pediatrician. All 3 professionals recommended that we remove the children from our home. At this point, we again reached out to DHS for help. Then we were threatened with possible abandonment charges and potentially losing our own boys, as well if we returned the girls to DHS custody. In fact, a past DHS employee at the time came to us and confirmed that the plan at DHS was to seek abandonment charges if we returned the girls. My wife knew another woman, Stacy Francis, who was interested in adopting around this same time. My wife had known Ms. Francis for over 20 years, and we knew that Stacy Francis and her husband Eric had already completed 3 international adoptions. We initially wanted to hire Stacy for a position at our daycare, but she was a full-time stay-at-home mom at that point. Ms. Francis recommended her husband for the position instead, as he had a degree in child development from the University of Arkansas, was a lead teacher at a Head Start program, and had been a state employee as a pre-K teacher for about 5 years. We never had any indication that Eric Francis was anything other than a child care professional who would be an asset to our daycare, and Eric passed 2 pre-employment background checks prior to beginning work with us. Faced with no help from DHS, we thought we had found a perfect solution when Stacy and Eric told us they were interested in adopting these girls. They had professional credentials and personal experience. Having been through the adoption process, and they were even familiar with reactive attachment disorder and treatment, we began the girls' placement with the Francises through short visits at their home. We saw that things were going well and that they seemed to be a good fit for the girls. We had an attorney draw up guardianship papers with our ultimate goal for the placement being that the Francises would adopt these girls. As soon as the girls began living with the Francises, we immediately began forwarding all stipend checks from the state of Arkansas to the Francises. Even after the girls were placed in the Francises' home, we continued contact with the girls, and we scheduled doctor's appointments and took the girls to those appointments as needed. We also provided all the girls' clothing and material needs even after they were in the Francises' home. Around February of 2014, we were incorrectly informed by DHS that the Francises had sent the girls to live with another family. After meeting with the Francises, we learned that the girls were not with the new family, but the family was in the process of completing a DHS home study with the intention to having the girls live with them. We met with the new family and eventually were convinced that the new family was a good place for these girls. We signed over guardianship to the family and gave our consent for them to adopt the girls, which was completed in 2014. At the new family's request, we do not have ongoing contact with the girls. Because of what we've been through, I support Representative Letting's bill and Governor Hutchison's initiatives to address the systemic problems at DHS.
He's going to take 3 questions.
I just wanted to ask you, as far as the fears of being charged with abandonment, it just strikes me as hard to believe that you would think you'd be charged if you were going through so much struggles with them. I mean, the situation seemed desperate. You're a lawmaker. You have to know that they're not going to, a court case against DHS can't charge you. How could you fear that you were going to be faced with charges when the situation was so desperate?
Well, Drew, honestly, we had no turning point. And so when they told us that we could possibly charge with abandonment, as a lawmaker, I thought, who could I turn to? If, as a state rep, if I had no help, where was I going to go? And we were threatened with that, and I believed it. And so we had no choice. And so that was what we believed. If the head of DHS said that, well, then that must be the law. And so we believed it. We have, yes, it was a current employee, and we also have someone to confirm that.
Who is the employee?
We'll release that at a later time.
Representative, what are those abandonment charges that you talk about that you're not so scary about them?
You can look it up in statute. They're there. You can look it up, but we have been cleared of all charges.
Do
Do you have proof that you transferred the money to the other family?
Yes, we do have proof. What we did is we made copies of each check. It's there. So.
Copies of the check. Do you have bank statements or deposits?
When I say copies of check, we can provide. Yes, we have copies of the checks and where they've been cashed. Yes, sir.
So you're like, okay, we're going to take three questions. That's it. All right, thank you.